the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dearly beloved, it is a wonderful thing to be able to preach to you again. And it is wonderful also to consider our Lord's words from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 20, where the Lord Jesus is explaining and teaching about the kingdom of God. The kingdom is not a chunk of land with a castle and knights and princesses. That's what we think about when we hear kingdom. It's not like a kingdom of England or anything like that. The kingdom of God, instead, is probably better translated as the kingship of God. The kingship. It's first of all God's action. It's God's action of being king. And secondly, it is the people over whom and among whom he is king. Some people hear kingdom of God and they think of the church. Other people hear kingdom of God and they think of heaven. That's not wrong. But most of all, think of it this way. The kingdom of God is God doing his kingly, royal work of saving you and protecting you. So now, what is the kingdom of God? Or what is it like? That is to say, how can we understand God's work of saving us and being our king? Well, it's like this. God calls you to work in his vineyard. God calls you to work in his vineyard. That's one way to understand the kingdom of God. God calls you to work. Now, sometimes some of us Lutherans are a little bit allergic to telling people that salvation in the kingdom of God has to do with work and rewards. It sounds too much like work righteousness, doesn't it? But our Lord Jesus has no problem with that. He speaks this way, and so should we. The kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. The master is hiring, and these unemployed men have the opportunity to join the master's household, his family in the wide sense. Because in ancient times, a family was not just the biological family members, but also the servants, and a lot of times also the workers. The master's hiring. They can join. This is a great opportunity. It's an opportunity not just for one day's labor, but really it's an opportunity for a lifetime of service to a generous master. Without a master such as this, these laborers and their families might starve. You have to remember that at the time of Jesus, there was no unemployment benefits. So just as the master called these men to labor in his service, the master of the true vineyard calls you to labor in the vineyard. Two chapters later in Matthew 22, the same thing is described as being invited to a wedding feast. In either case, God is graciously calling you to a position. He calls you, like right now, through the preaching of the word. And he has sent ministers to do precisely that, calling some people at the first hour, some at the second, third, sixth, ninth, and even at the 11th hour. That is to say, all through the day, if 6 o'clock is the first hour, and 11th is right around 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock. That is to say, from dawn until dusk. Now, sadly, not everybody accepts this offered position. Not everybody heeds this call. The last will be first, and the first last. Many are called, but few are chosen. Some people remain idle in the marketplace. That is, they never heard the gospel. Either they never heard the gospel call to salvation, or they ignored it. In any case, they never join the master's household. Some people remain idle in the vineyard. That is to say, they're in the church, but they're really lazy about it. And they disobey the Lord's call. And they're not concerned with a life of holiness and serving the Lord. Some people go so far as to destroy the vineyard. And here we might think of those who are destroying the true faith by false teaching, or people who even physically persecute true Christians. Then there are some people who leave the vineyard due to the heat and the labor. That is to say, they were Christians, but they fell away, denying Christ, either explicitly by their words or implicitly by their lifestyle. My dearly beloved brothers and sisters, do not be like these people. You have been called into the Lord's service. But now, as workers, do not just work for the denarius. Work for what is right. Work for what is right. The master agrees to a denarius with the first workers, but to the later workers, he simply promises to give, quote, what is right. A denarius was a Roman coin, often equal to a day's wages for a manual laborer. A denarius means something. Is it eternal life as the reward for works? Well, the Lord does not say that. And the workers who are looking at the denarius as their right, they're sent away. So it's not something you can just earn and claim as a right. Is the denarius eternal life as a gift of grace? This is better, but still not quite correct, since the denarius is given both to those who remain in the master's household and to those who are told to depart. Is the denarius Christ himself? Again, no. Christ offers himself to all, just as the master called all the workers he could find, but Christ does not allow himself to be held and kept by those who grumble against him and who depart. What we have to remember here with this parable is that a denarius was simply the wage for one day's work. Now, Bible interpreters have disagreed on this, and they always will. But I think that the most natural explanation is that a denarius is a temporary reward for serving in the vineyard, not an eternal reward. Maybe it could be reward in general, without consideration for what kind of reward it is. That's possible. But the main thing to remember is this. Remaining in the vineyard is key. That's what you have to do. Those who work because they trust the Lord of the vineyard to fulfill his promise, they're the ones who receive full wages, and they are not sent away. But those who grumble about the denarius that are given to others show that they are just working to get the money. They are short-sighted. They're only looking out for their own benefit. Give me my money in return for my work. They are really missing the point. And what they really need is not one day's wages, but they need to stay on at this job. They need to become part of the Lord's household. They need to have a position that provides security, not just for a day, but for a lifetime. The denarius is not an eternal reward, but it is temporal, temporary. The denarius was a reward for only one day's labor. The grumbling workers were serving for something temporary and temporal, while the trusting workers were serving for what is right, and they were able to continue in the vineyard. They were not sent away. Brothers and sisters, we too often do our work for some kind of self-seeking reward, do we not? We do not simply out of trust in our Lord and love for him do the work that he has called us to do. When we think about our salvation, we mostly think of ourselves and our own happiness, not about being with God and loving him without end. Our joy and what we seek is heaven and pleasures rather than God himself, the giver of every good thing. Well, that is an attitude that's kind of like seeking the denarius rather than the Lord himself with his vineyard. But the Lord has something else to teach us here too. And that is this. Don't despise your fellow Christians. There are some people who are called to work in the vineyard at the first hour and some who only came in at the end. At the time of Christ, this might have been pretty clear. In the same way, the Jewish people were God's people from of old, hoping in the coming Messiah and trusting in the promises of God about the Messiah who would come, the Christ. But then the Lord Jesus made it clear that Gentiles, we people, would be added to God's kingdom. And it did not seem right to the Jews that they should have no special status, that all that time with God throughout the Old Testament should not make them any better than the Gentiles. All who are in God's kingdom, you see, are in it through faith in Jesus Christ, by the grace of God's calling, not by the length of their service. And they all receive the benefit of eternal life. Later in the New Testament, such as in Galatians, you can see that some Jewish Christians thought that seemed pretty unfair. They taught that you had to become a Jew in order to be saved through Christ. Faith in Christ was necessary, but so was all the Old Testament ceremonial laws. Well, all of Paul's letter to the Galatians is directed against that error. So the Jews in the New Testament are a prime example of those workers who were called first. They were called at the first hour, and they held a grudge against those who were called at the end. Shame on them, right? But this also applies to you in this congregation. Some of you have been Christians your whole life. Others become Christians later, and some not until the end of their lives. Some people lived wicked lives, but now have repented and believed. This parable reminds all of you, do not despise those who came late to the party. And also, do not regret having been a Christian all of your life. Rejoice that you have been serving your Lord for so long. Rejoice that you have been under His protection in His kingdom for as long as you have. And do not despise your fellow Christians no matter when they were called into the vineyard. Instead, welcome them and love them as fellow members of this great family. You have a gracious Lord who died in your place and rose for your benefit. And now He has called you into His vineyard, and He expects you to serve Him, and He will pay you what is right. You can trust Him to give you not what you deserve, but far, far more. May God give us hearts that will serve Him without grumbling, and that trust Him to give what is right. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.